Welcome to Hearing God with Gary and Jane Berry. Do you want to grow in your intimacy with Father God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus? Join us as we share insights and practical tips that you can apply today. Hi, I'm Gary Berry, and together with my wife Jane, we host Hearing God, a podcast that helps people hear God. Today we are looking at Hosea from the Bible and how he heard from God.
First, Gary, let's share briefly how we have heard from God this week.
There's a lady that we did some work for a little while ago, and then she contacted me and she was most concerned because her husband had been doing some strange things, like collecting all the metal things from the house and putting them in a big pile in the front yard. Cut a long story short, he ended up being taken away into a mental health ward and still there now after a number of months. However, I sensed that I should just take a meal to her. She was probably a good half an hour from where we were, and I took a meal. She's only a small lady, and the meal lasted over 2 days. But you know what she said to me at the end of that? "Hey, you're a friend of mine now." Wow, just a little thing of taking a meal to her, but I sensed that was what God wanted me to do. It just had such a profound impact upon her during this time of real angst, struggling with her husband being in a mental health ward. Amazing.
For me, I was in a business this week and they asked a question, the person, and I found myself complaining, just grumbling about something. And it was like there was a check in my spirit to immediately stop and respond differently. And I realized every time I went into that place, that building, the same thing happened. And I'd previously heard the people working there complaining about different other clients when no one else was around but me. And I just went, "Oh, there's an atmosphere in here that I come under whenever I walk in." So it was that check in my spirit, just immediately stop. And now I know that when I'll go in there in the future, I will actually just pray a quick prayer and change so I don't come under that atmosphere of complaining and grumbling in that building. Now today, as we look at Hosea, however you say it, in the
Bible. So that's who our next character is, Jane,
Hosea. Hosea. The background to him, he lived about 755 to 715 BC before Christ, around the time of Isaiah, Micah, and Amos in the Old Testament. And he lived in the northern kingdom during the reign of King Jeroboam II. Now, Hosea is famous for obeying God's command to him to marry a prostitute who he knew would betray his trust. Basically, his wife committed adultery, and the Israelites had committed spiritual adultery by worshipping yet again Baal and other idols. Now, Hosea and his wife Gomer had 3 children whose names God gave him, even sent messages of judgment upon Israel. So God used Hosea's life and actions to send specific messages to the Israelites who are unfaithful to God, who had turned their back on God, and who were worshipping other gods. So if you read the book of Hosea, you see repentance, redemption, restoration throughout all of Hosea's life and that of the Israelites.
So as we look at Hosea, Jane, the first principle, God can and will do anything. God is sovereign. God can also ask us to do the unimaginable.
I know. Could you imagine God asking you to marry a prostitute? Not that prostitution is any bigger sin than anything else, but just someone who you wouldn't normally think of marrying. God asked you to do something that you honestly had no framework for. Are we prepared to follow God no matter what?
Well, look at Hosea. Like chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Hosea. And then on to verse 2, when the word of the Lord came to Hosea, he said to Hosea, Hosea, obey God. Do we obey God quickly?
So it was interesting. Hosea received from God through an auditory method. So he heard, like, the word of the Lord came. It's like, how did that come? But he heard God say to him. So the first three chapters, we see Hosea hearing God through an auditory method, whether it was external or internal, that hearing God just in our mind, in our spirit, or an auditory voice, don't know. But the first three chapters are about how Hosea was to live. The next 11 chapters, what he was to say to Israel. But I think the principle for me is, do we obey God quickly? And when he asks us to do the unimaginable, I know Hosea, it seemed like he just obeyed God quickly, didn't question it. I would say just pause for a minute and just run it past a couple of tests.
What do you mean by tests, Jane?
Well, just, you know, does this align with the nature and character of God? Is there a biblical precedence? Well, Hosea, of course, didn't have that. Also, run it past a few trusted friends who you know hear from God or are wise and biblical. And so that, you know, if you hear God say, go kill a person, well, you know that that's not right.
Because it's contrary to what the scripture has to say.
Yeah.
But I think also sometimes people almost hide behind that. Well, God says so, therefore, don't question me about it. Yeah. I'm just going to go and do it because God's told me to do it. And, yeah, it's a real balancing act, isn't it?
It is, because the amount of times I could probably be not a millionaire, but I'd be quite rich if I had a dollar for every time someone said, oh, God told me to. And you go, oh, there's just something not sitting right, is it? Yeah. So being open, but being prepared to obey God quickly.
So the second principle, Jane, is our name is important. Can you just unpack that for us, Jane?
Yes. Well, here's God saying to Hosea, here's a name for each of your children. When he had the eldest son, Jezreel, and the name was, because I will punish the house of Jehu and put an end to the kingdom of Israel. Next came the daughter, who was called like Lo-Ruhama, which means not loved. For I'll no longer show love to Israel. So God's saying, I'm giving you these names, and it's to do with Israel, but it's for your children. Imagine being called not loved. That just really strikes my heart. And the last child, the son, Lo-Ami, which means not my people. For you, the Israelites, are not my people, and I am not your God. Our name is important. It can signify purpose, character, and it's often symbolic. And I think for those who are yet to have children, when you come to naming children, really seek out God, really ask God, what would you love us to name our children? I know when we had Sarah and Josh, we placed huge importance on the biblical meaning of their name. Nicknames are important as well. Nicknames can really scar us, or really, I suppose, help us flourish with the meaning.
So they can be a name that puts down someone, or a name that actually lifts up someone. And I know that I often, when my daughter was younger, now the meaning of Sarah is princess, but that was the nickname that I had for her too. I used to call her princess. It was amazing, like when we were in Africa, that some of the names of the kids were wonderful, like beautiful.
Yeah, there were a number of girls called beautiful. And it really struck me at the time, but I went, how often do you hear your name each day? If you hear it 10 times, 20 times a day, and you're called beautiful, you're called princess, you're called loved, you're called wonderful, you believe, like, it's layer upon layer upon layer of endearment, affection, of who you are inside you.
Of just speaking those words into the spirit, and people start to live those out.
Ooh.
So that's exciting, because identity is the key.
Can we just stop here and pray for those people who feel that they've been wounded by their name or a nickname? I know someone came recently for a prophetic word and asked them their name, and they said, "I've never liked my name." And I was like, "Oh, let's just take a minute and ask God why, and why you were called that name, and what it is about the name." And God revealed a whole new meaning for that person. And it was like a redemption, like
a restoration.
Restoration, yeah. So, Heavenly Father, for any listener now who has never liked their name or doesn't like their name or had a name, been called a name that has hurt them or has a meaning that hasn't built them up, Lord, would you lift off the hurt? Would you lift off the grief from that? Would you lift off the emotions attached to the hurt? And the emotions attached to what they feel when they hear their name. And Holy Spirit, would you replace that with your love, with your comfort, with your ease, with a reassurance, with a new name? And Holy Spirit, would you show them more about what you call them? In Jesus' name. Amen.
So one of the underlying things that's really running through our podcast is really the correlation between hearing God and our identity. And we want to continue to see that grow and develop. Now, the third principle, we want to get back to Hosea. prophetic acts can change the outcome.
Oh, yes. Hosea marrying Gomer was a prophetic act. He was marrying someone knowing she would continue to be unfaithful. And it was just like God with Israel. God knew that Israel, you feel like throttling the Israelites. They would have this huge supernatural encounter with God, next minute turn their back on him and worship Baal or other gods. Now, a prophetic act is something done at God's direction in the natural or physical realm that supports God's working in the spiritual realm to bring forth results that are manifested back in the natural realm. So it is something done in the physical realm that we do that impacts the spiritual realm and changes the result back here in the natural realm. It opens the channel for God's presence, power, and victory to be released to have an effect back here in the natural realm.
So I know that when it comes to praying for people, often in church, or at the end of church, I can remember recently where I got someone to do a prophetic act. They were wanting to get a picture of where they should be heading, what should be happening in the next season of their life. And I sent for them to stand up on the stage and look towards the back. So not to look at the people between them and the back, but look to the back. And in doing so, that was a prophetic act of looking forward. And yeah, I didn't know what would happen as a result of that, but I sensed that was what God would want them to do. And they got up and did it and looked out towards the back of the church.
Sometimes it can be as simple as drawing a line and stepping over that, or like turning a key in a lock. It's a physical action. It's not, there's not a formula to it. It's actually hearing from God. And it's like something that breaks open the future.
So sometimes, Jane, I know that we do something called brushing off, and that's a prophetic act. What happens in that?
Yes, after we've been ministering, whether healing, prophetic, whatever, we will often, as a family, brush off just with our hands to brush off our shoulders, our body, and say we just brush off anything negative that's come upon us during this time of ministry, that it won't affect us. And we've noticed a distinct correlation between times when we haven't done it and we will feel sick or have a headache or something afterwards, and then times when we do this.
So it's really a spiritual act, and it really brushes off anything that may have come upon us through that interaction with the person. We're able to release that prophetic act, is able to clear those things away.
And that's especially if it's been something quite heavy. Often you see prophetic acts in culture today. You know, we used to, not so much now, but when I was growing up, there used to be a key you were given to the door for your 21st birthday. So you'd be given a key and it symbolised that. The wedding ring, when you exchange rings, that's a prophetic act. There's heaps of biblical examples. You know, Ezekiel 4, lying on the left and the right side, the food, the drink preparation, prophesying to creation. In 2 Kings 13, Elisha with King Jehoash's arrow of shooting that and then striking the ground with the rest of the arrows. Exodus 12, the Passover, you know, Israelite families killed a lamb and put blood on their doorposts. That was a prophetic act. Jesus did prophetic acts. John 9, you know, he put clay on the blind man's eyes. So the action, the prophetic act, can be for intercession, warfare, healing, a call to ministry. The main principle to take from it is to ask God what the issue is and whether he wants you to do a prophetic act to facilitate change.
Or just purely praying to it.
Yeah, and then act on it whenever you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. When we were first, I suppose, exposed to prophetic acts, we were planning a trip to Tasmania, my home state, and really felt to ask God beforehand, were there any prophetic acts he would love us to do on that holiday? And there was a whole series of things happen, and I won't go into it this time, quite major things. But one of the things, and only one of the things, was we did this prophetic act down at Denali in Tasmania. Now, they'd had bushfires a couple of years before that had gone through that area, a number of people killed, so much destroyed. And we'd been to Port Arthur that day, and we're on our way back to have dinner with close friends, and we're sort of just on time. So as we're going through Denali, I looked at the sheet of paper that we had with prophetic acts on it, and it was like, oh, that's right. We'd really felt God had said to pour out a bottle of water on the land there. So what we did, and this was just purely, was really quick. We just slowed the car. Josh had a bottle of water, undid it, and he didn't even get out of the car. He just put down the window, poured the water out on the land, and we just prayed a quick prayer for cleansing, of whatever, refreshment, of repairing the land and the people in that area. And we drove on. So it lasted less than 2 minutes at the very most. Went on, didn't think much more about it, went on, continued doing our prophetic acts around Tasmania. Exactly a week later, we're at my sister's place and her husband was saying, hey, come and see what's this on the news. And there's a few expletives. And we saw that it had rained that day in that very place, Denali, nowhere else in Tasmania. And it had rained twice the amount that it had ever rain there before. So twice the rainfall that ever received, and only in that very specific spot. And I was like, this is weird. Like, it was on the news and it was so sort of incomprehensible. And Gary and I looked at one another and went, oh, I wonder if that was the result of that physical act that we did that brought about a change in the spiritual and then back to the symbolising stuff.
That Josh did, actually. His little toddler.
Gary, did you want to summarise or anything else to add, I should say?
Well, I think with the prophetic acts, it's really just asking God what he wants to see done and just flow through it. We don't worry about the result of it. I mean, James certainly said about the result or what happened a week later in relation to the rain in that area. But we're just obedient to what God wants us to do and just leave it at that. If something happens, hey, great. If nothing happens, whatever. We don't try to understand God. We just obey him and do what we sense he would want us to do. Is that a fair comment, Jane?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in summary, the first principle was God can and will do anything. God is sovereign. God can also ask us to do the unimaginable. The second principle, our name is important. And the third principle, which was sort of labored a little bit, prophetic acts can change the outcome.
So at the end of every podcast, we have a prophetic activation, purely just a time where you can ask God a question and practice hearing from God, hearing, seeing, sensing, feeling, knowing, whatever, receiving from God. So just now turn your heart and thoughts to Father God and ask him, God, what are your thoughts about my name? Father God, what do I need to know about my name? Father God, is there a nickname that you call me? And what is that? How am I known in heaven? And you may even ask God, is there a prophetic act you would like me to do? Now, both of us have asked God what he would love to say to a listener. Gary, do you want to go first?
It's always me. No, it's all right. I saw a picture of Fred Flintstone in his car driving along, and I said, God, Fred Flintstone, what is it you want to say to people today about that? Well, Fred Flintstone, he drew me to his feet, and actually that is how the car is propelled, by his feet. I suppose I'm showing my age also about Fred Flintstone. And the thing is that what I sense God is saying to people is that you're trying to do things in your own strength. And that actually he wants you to not keep on doing things in your own strength, but sort of let go and let God. Give him control, give him the power, let him empower your situation. So don't try and control things, but let go.
I actually saw a picture of fruit trees and I was asking God, well, what is it about the fruit tree? And I really feel, you know, just how fruit trees, the seasons in a tree, the seasons where a fruit tree will have fruit on it, other seasons where it will be growing, other seasons where it's preparing for the fruit. And I really sense this fruit from your life that you are unaware of. And I'm decreeing and declaring actually now that within the next little while, within the next week or month, you will become aware of the fruit in your life. Maybe through someone saying, hey, you once said this to me or did this for me and I want to thank you. Or it could be God helping you be aware of fruit in your life, and I just really feel it will be a real encouragement. Gary, would you like to pray for our listeners?
Father, I want to thank you for today. Thank you for the journey that you've had us on. May we learn to be obedient to you. May we be open to things and be sensitive to things that are perhaps out of left field. May there be prophetic acts or actions that you want us to do that have spiritual implications that will just cause breakthrough, Lord. Father, may we be sensitive to your spirit and act on those words. Thank you for all of our listeners today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We would love it if you could rate and review our podcast on your favourite podcast listening app, because it really helps us to share our podcast further. And even ask God who you could share our podcast with and just let them know what you've received from it so far. Thank you so much for listening.